I'm Carmen LaSalle, and welcome to San Francisco Liberation Radio. Laura Flanders was the keynote speaker at the 29th annual meeting of the nonprofit corporation Media Alliance. This meeting was held in Oakland, California, at the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights on June 15, 2005. Media Alliance is dedicated to excellence, ethics, diversity, and accountability in all aspects of the media in the interest of peace, justice, and social responsibility. Jeff Perlstein, the executive director of Media Alliance, compared his organization's dedication to fostering alternative media sources to growing and tending an organic garden. San Francisco Liberation Radio has benefited greatly from this policy. Because the station has a fiscal sponsorship through Media Alliance, it can accept tax-deductible donations. Media Alliance is based in Oakland, California, and can be found on the internet at www.media-alliance.org. Jeff Perlstein now introduces Laura Flanders.
Laura is certainly a unique personality in the world of the media. How many people get to be regular, you know, have regular appearances or have appeared regularly on Fox News who were, you know, and the founder of the Women's Desk at FAIR and the host of Counterspin? I mean, is not a right-wing flaming asshole. I mean, that is a pretty unique position to be in. Laura's work has actually touched a lot of people and reached a lot of us. I mean, she speaks to those of us who are diehard lefty media activists who listened, who became enamored with her punchy style on Counterspin. And then there are all those drive-time truckers who are listening to Laura Flanders now on Air America Radio who fell in love with, well, her punchy style. And it is that punchiness combined with pretty wicked reason and insight that makes her a powerful and unique voice, and really just a pleasure to listen to, whether it's on the radio or when she's on one of her tours celebrating her books, including Bush Women, Tales of a Cynical Species, and the W Factor, or W Effect. Just an amazing voice. You know, there's a lot more to say, but I'm not going to. So, Laura Flanders.
Okay, you'll be a guest next week, Gopal. Well, I am going to get you all arrested. No, just kidding. I was so excited that you talked about the 30th birthday because I was thinking, here's a bunch of media folks, and I just heard a buried lead. When somebody referred to you celebrating your 30th anniversary next year, I wanted to hear cheers and celebrate. 30 years? Do you get what that is for a nonprofit organization? Do you even remember where we were in 1976? We hadn't, you know, it was Panama, and I think that was the first time they banned discrimination against people who were pregnant, otherwise known as women. 30 years, people, that's amazing. That's really an amazing thing. There you go. We'd almost had an impeachment. There you have it. Let's talk. I'm going to talk a little bit about the problems that we face, the solutions that we have out there, the challenges, and then alliance, which is, I really think, what you are all about. The problem is, well, you all perhaps don't share my sense of the problem in that you've taken the time here tonight to be here, even though Larry King is doing his third night of broadcasts on the Michael Jackson trial. So that problem doesn't bother you, really. What does now? You've heard from the jurors. You've heard from the lawyers. You didn't want to hear from the Jackson family? What's wrong with you people? That's one sense of the problem. Another sense of the problem are the revised guidelines from PBS that is to make sure that the same problem doesn't happen again, that conservatives get short shrift. They're imposing, obviously, an ombudsman, and they're going to be making sure that conservatives get longer shrift, I guess. I don't know what that is. Then there's the New York Times, which has been fascinating to read recently on the Downing Street memo when they finally woke up to it. And wasn't that cute? Tim Russert on NBC a week ago asked Ken Mailman, the co-chair of the RNC, if he would just talk for a minute about that famous Downing Street memo. That was the first time the word Downing Street memo had ever been said on NBC. In fact, on any network television broadcast. The famous Downing Street memo. No thanks to you, bud. And they have yet to do a report on it. The New York Times has been forced to deal with the Downing Street memo, talk about it, and it's fascinating. Anybody following this, they write one story and then they write another story. Last week's story was how, you know, there's really nothing new in the memo. It shows that, yeah, the decision had been made to go to war, but what's new about that? The decision was made in, you know, 2002, big deal. And then a few days later, they ran a story about how the memo didn't show that the decision had been made to go to war, that it was inconclusive. So they haven't got their kind of conservative spin, just sort of all in a line there. I guess it's hard to get spin in a line, but you know what I mean. Another example of the problem, I was at NBC the other day. I have recently matured, Gopal, in that I now have a threshold beneath which I will not go in the mainstream media. And MSNBC's program with Tucker Carlson was it. I went in to try out for they wanted to have some rotating panelists who'd be willing to participate in a program that I think launched this week. And the producers, I didn't know anything about it. I was being a good Air America employee and doing what I was told, just in that instance. I don't do what I'm told on the air, but off the air, sometimes I do. They said, would you go and just blah, blah, blah. So I did. And I went in, and, you know, I was taking out time from researching, when are those pictures going to be released from Guantanamo, and what the heck is happening in Iraq? 30 people roughly dying every day, and there are 15-year-olds at Guantanamo, and I know I was taking time out from serious stuff, and I got in my limousine that they always send and went to New Jersey and got out there, and the MSNBC producer said, this is the idea for the show. We've decided that the public, they really don't want information. They don't really want news. They want just personality, right? They want personality. So, I mean, for example, we had John McCain on the other day, the night of the filibuster deal, and the ratings just went down into the toilet. You know, so we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to have Tucker Carlson talking with some chatty, you know, punchy people. Because, you know, often they're really, they said, like, right now they're just isn't a big story out there. Literally what they said. Like right now, there's just not a big story out there. Downing Street memo, Guantanamo, Iraq. My stomach, it just, like, what are you going to do? So the problem is profound. Now the solution, the good news, is that we're in a very different situation from where we were 30 years ago, not maybe politically, but media-wise, 20 years ago, when I, just under, somewhere in there, 88, I guess, I started working with FAIR, the Media Watch Group. The organization had been founded about a year or two before. And in those days, when we would talk about media consolidation or FCC regulations, you know, people's eyes would just go roll back in the back of their heads. It's very different today. And everybody who was in St. Louis heard me talk about this. Hi there. That's my cousin. Today we have 2,300 people showing up for a conference in St. Louis on media reform, fascinated and eager to talk about the FCC. We have mobilization around FCC regulations that got them to have to hold meetings all around the country. You had, you know, really down a heel, unattractive, not so very punchy FCC commissioners treated like rock stars all across the country. You know, I'm not sure they're ever going to get over it. David Cobb is like, wow, way into being a celebrity. And we stopped regulations. Now, maybe we didn't stop them completely, and maybe we would still like to have different, you know, more regulation of media ownership and more media diversity, but we forced a steamroller that was really gearing up steam to just get through everything it wanted we forced up to stop in his tracks for a little bit, which was a major accomplishment, with thousands and thousands of faxes and thousands of people in the grassroots organizing to show up for meetings, thousands and thousands of people talking to their constituents. We ended up with, you know, Tom DeLay and Kay Bailey Hutchison on our side, which is always scary, but... Nonetheless, it's very different. The picture is very, very different today. You know, years ago, when we were trying to mobilize people around, you know, whether it was the Contra war, and we were trying to get the media to cover it, there wasn't the sort of network that we have today. While the Heritage Foundation was gearing itself up into high power, into the high power machine it is today to influence the media. And what do they do as, you know, one of their big messages, these right-wing foundations and think tanks, one of their big messages is the American people are inherently conservative and, you know, have inherently deeply held conservative beliefs, to which I say, well, then why are you so busily trying to persuade them to agree with you if they already deeply agree with you? The very same people that have been spending millions of dollars changing American views on the role of the state and what should we have as public goods are the very same people who, after the last election, said, well, this just goes to show how the American people are just innately conservative. Not at all. They've been pouring millions of dollars into changing American views and to persuade us that we're just crazy and out of touch with the mainstream. 20 years ago, groups like Heritage were just gearing up, and we didn't have our equivalents, really. We weren't able to mobilize in the same way that we are today. And we also didn't have the media that we have today, like Air America Radio, for example. I'll tell you a little bit about Air America Radio and how it works and how exciting it is sometimes. Often. It's always really, really, really exciting. For example, on Saturday this weekend, Steve Rosenfeld is here, senior producer for the Laura Flanders Show stand-up. Ta-da. Formerly of Tom Paine. Christabel and Sia Boadi is working hard in New York. This Saturday, we came in pretty hot and heavy about the Downing Street memo and the new data, the new documents that were coming out from the London Times, Sunday Times, even as late as last Sunday. And we knew that the MoveOn site, the MoveOnPact.org, had put up a tally of how many people were signing on that petition, and that the goal was to get 500,000 people signed by, you know, this coming Thursday, so that John Conyers can take all the petitions across town and have the hearing that Andrea was talking about, which is now happening tomorrow. And I sit in the studio, and it is amazing in that you have, you know, the computer chat over here where I'm talking to Steve in San Francisco and the producers in the production room, and over here is the little screen with all the people calling in from all over the country, and they call in from Alabama, and they call in from Alaska, and they call in from Minnesota, and they call in from the Bay Area, and then there are people blogging, talking often about what they're drinking and eating, but I think deep down they are channeling what we're saying on the radio. There are martini parties that happen every Saturday around the radio in upstate New York, and 12 people listen together to the broadcast. And they get quieter and quieter during the program. Somebody called in and they said, you know, don't you think we could make the 500,000 before the end of your show? And I said, sure. And so throughout those 3 hours, we were watching the tally on the MoveOnPact site going. It was like a casino thing going around and around and around. And by the end of that night, it had reached 500,000 people. It was pressure from groups like yours that helped create something like Air America Radio, no question. It was organizing by groups like ours here that have helped to make the changes with the FCC that we've seen and put the pressure on the FCC, make FCC regulations, media regulations, like a juicy, almost sexy topic around the country. It was groups like ours that got the Downing Street memo to do something other than die in the US media. They wanted it dead, they wanted it never covered, they wanted it never talked about. And as soon as it was talked about, they said it's old news, and we still didn't go away. They wanted it talked about, and they said we were nuts and paranoids. Did anybody else see that? And the Washington Post said nuts, paranoids, and there was another good word. Nuts, kooks, and paranoids, maybe. It was bad language all the way around. And we still didn't go away, and we said we're going to have hearings, and we don't care if you don't let us have hearings inside the Capitol Hill. We're going to have hearings at the DNC. Is it now moved back to Capitol Hill? Yeah, so people didn't give up the fight. And you have people like Tim Russert having to pretend that it's famous when he knows he hasn't paid the slightest bit of attention to this. And we have callers calling in saying, I called Hillary Clinton about the Downing Street memo, and she said that she'd never, you know, her staffer said she'd never heard of it. And I said, well, I suspect they might be lying. And we can say that on Air America Radio, right? We have a different situation today. The debt forgiveness for the African and most indebted nations. Now, it's not perfect, but that's, how much they've got more reporters covering Michael Jackson's trial than the whole continent of Africa, all the networks put together. African poverty, you have 1,000 people dying a day in Darfur, right? And those Michael Jackson is still every night on Larry King. Third world debt, so-called, the debt we owe to the developing world, is not a topic that gets mass media attention. But groups like Jubilee 2000, groups like 50 Years is Enough, have forced that story to be something that is affecting, you know, beleaguered prime ministers like Tony Blair, who are trying to scrape himself back into popular appeal. That's a victory for activists, not helped by the media. It's an important one. And the last one I have to say, or the most one that's on my mind right now, the other one is troops out of Iraq. You know, that is not a sentence that is even supposed to be said by a politician in Capitol Hill right now. And yet you have Lynn Woolsey putting forward a resolution, getting 128 people in Congress to support it, including 5 Republicans, including the guy from South Carolina who wanted the Capitol Hill cafeterias no longer to use the word French and to rename Liberation Fries. That guy. That guy wants troops out now. And even Nancy Pelosi, let's just say, has said that maybe there should be a conversation about having a conversation about having a conversation about troops out now. That's amazing stuff, and that's thanks to you. And USA Today did a poll this last week on bringing troops out. And I went searching, what was it, maybe 3 weeks ago, for how many times the question is ever asked. It was never asked. They never ask every other question but that one. But this Tuesday, that question got asked. And we already know that 2/3 of the American people think that the war was not worth fighting, that majority think that it has not made the country safer. Now, that was the administration's most important argument for the war. It'll make us safer. A majority of people are not buying it. That's huge, and that's thanks to the independent media who keep talking about it. It's huge. And even though you see story after story, again, the New York Times, the Washington Post, stories about, why aren't the Marines meeting their recruitment goals? Or I guess the Marines did meet theirs this week, but why isn't the military meeting its recruitment goals? People are lazy, scared. Their hippie parents are leading them astray. No, they're against the friggin' war. That's why they're, The message is getting through. The message is getting through, and we're having an impact that we weren't able to have before. Now, there is a challenge. There is a challenge. Air America Radio has been able to prove that there is a market for progressive radio, which is to say it's commercial. And we've proven that there is enough of a market that even clear channel stations like the one here want to run our content because they think they can make money off it. This is a different argument. This is a different argument from can we survive, can we create community-supported radio like the Pacifica stations, which is an argument we've had struggles with, but we've shown it can be done. It's a different argument. This is the argument, can it be seen as commercially viable inside this economy? And we've shown Air America, we were declared dead about 500 times in the last year, and we've shown it can be done. Thank you, Linton. Another cousin. We've also shown that we can develop a media machine, a media influencing machine. The progressives can develop machines not unlike the Heritage Foundation machines. Every week, there are 2 or 3 releases, for example, from the Center for American Progress, which I can tell you everybody reads at Air America Radio. There are other think tanks in Washington, too, that are developing, you know, machines like that to influence what is the message of the day coming from a network like Air America. So those are two things. We're figuring out how we can influence coverage. We can create our own kind of mouthpiece, in a sense. We can influence that mouthpiece. But that's really where the challenge comes. Because I'm not sure. I'm into criticism, self-criticism, right? You hear me on Fridays. I'm not sure we want a Fox of the left. And I'm not sure we want a Heritage Foundation of the left. And what we're getting, what we're fighting is a partisan political battle right now where we are being able to air a more Democratic Party-friendly side. But where's the rest of the debate? That's what I'm trying to bring into Air America Radio, and I do it because I have you guys at my back, and I say there is a market for this, there is an interest in this. You know, actually, I think we can do better than election campaigns where we would get fairer coverage for John Kerry. Because John Kerry's campaign, in many ways, kind of boiled down to, the campaign in general boiled down to, you know, one guy who's saying, I am right now actively engaged in killing, you know, watch the blood pouring off my wrists. And the other guy saying, well, I've been in retirement, but I am a killer, and I promise that if you will let me, I will kill again. I think we can do better than that. I think, for example, that we have Code Pink and other groups saying, let's not enter this macho contest. Isn't it possible to suggest that being a strong man in 21st century America means standing up for the weakest, means not hitting first, means cleaning up your room, you know, means working well with others? Isn't it possible we can have a different discourse? So I think the challenge for groups like yours, and this is where Alliance comes in, and does being a subscriber make you a member?
Well, you know, it's kind of the same.
Are there any other tests? No, okay, so I am a member in that sense. Okay, thank you, thank you. Okay. Oh. For the moment, I'm good standing, all right. Hey, I'm in favor of everybody. I like that kind of voting. Just vote for everyone and do it now, and they're all great. And you got 2 out of 3 are called Laura. What was wrong with the third one? But look, I stole your pen. This is where the alliance comes in, people. It should not, we need to develop mechanisms that get our message, our community justice, racial justice, equality message to our media outlets in the same way that the Center for the American Progress and all those groups are doing it. I don't want to be receiving emails only from, you know, the Democratic campaign or the, you know, Center for American Progress. I want to be getting emails from you guys. I want to be getting messages from you. I want you to be talking to me about World Environment Day, about your critique of the debt deal in Africa. I want to hear your critique of even our victory around the FCC. And I don't want it to just be sniping, oh, this wasn't good, but rather this bit was good, this other bit wasn't good, and here are 3 speakers who can talk to it. There are some great models out there. The Institute for Public Accuracy in Washington, D.C. distributes lists every couple of days of really progressive guests who have a critique of today's story in live time, because talk radio, we need your critique right now. And we need your suggestions of who to have on. And we need you to say that we want politics that gets just beyond Democrat and Republican, but there's this whole other concept. There are these whole series of other concepts we want you to talk about. We want to talk about Guantanamo, and we want to talk about incarceration right here in the United States. We want to talk about bringing troops home. We also want to talk about bringing U.S. corporations home. You know? It's a bigger conversation. So the challenge we face is we're figuring out how to create media that abide by the rules of our society right now, which are the rules of commerce. Who can pay to play wins. And we've been running around looking for great sponsors for the Laura Flanders Show so we can get rid of the male enhancement product ads. And the very bizarre ads that run all the time through my program for a certain kind of spray that will protect your horse from West Nile virus. Which I'm just not sure how well that company is doing among my listeners. I just don't know.
Larry
And Larry King selling grape juice. Exactly. That's what keeps him looking that way. And would you drink that grape juice? Right. So part of my project has become building alliances with socially conscious businesses to support programming like mine so that I'm not having, you know, so that I have a fair shot for the programming that I'm doing. In the same way that, you know, Al Franken has a fair shot for the program that he's doing. And also so that we can show that there are socially conscious businesses that care about some of these messages and that care about the treatment of their workers and the environment and so on and so forth. So there are challenges when it comes to abiding by the market rules, and I'll tell you in 6 months whether we were able to meet those challenges. But there's also a challenge dealing with the celebrity model of media, period. I mean, I started my drinking jokes about Michael Jackson. But frankly, I think there are some questions for us as we think about media reform. Media alliance is very different from media celebrity, right? Alliance has to do with how do we work together to get through a message. And yes, we want to do media training of really great spokespeople. Yes, we want to do media training of people who can be in the media and do great reporting. But I think we also, that's a big question to me. Like, I never intended to be working alone with a team of two in my office. You know, that wasn't my goal, my vision of what my life was going to be about, with me running around and being on MSNBC. And that's not my, like, that's a weird model. And maybe I'm sharing too much of my psycho internal. But I think it's a real question. We've created the most incredible media machine around Amy Goodman, for example, extraordinary, 350 stations around the country. Where are we going to bring up the next Amy Goodmans? Are we figuring out how to find a place for them? Are we figuring out how to relate media to media, or are we getting into competition? Pacifica versus Air America versus who knows what else? Are there ways we can build alliance that promote one another, that advance one another, that bring people in? I'd be happy to take interns to train people, not just free labor, but all the other stuff. I want us to think about that. And I want you all to be actively engaged in the growth of these media that I'm involved in right now, for example, Air America Radio. I mean, KALW has been the most glorious experience. What an amazing station. And Nicole Sawaya has turned that place around. And the reason that KALW succeeds is that it is low to the ground, it has an open door, it's in a public high school, anybody can walk in. Nicole will help people grow. New programs like Sandeep Roy's, the program up front, the programs that are now doing local news broadcasts on the weekends. It's a model of a community resource. And what I'm just a little bit nervous about is that as we make these forays into the commercial world, we lose that piece of our connection. And I get stuck with Al Franken and the Center for American Progress. So take that for what it's worth. Remain engaged with us. Don't let these new mechanisms that your old friend of mine, Phyllis Kriegel from New Directions for Women, used to say, you know, it's the independent media that bring the issue to the boil, and it's the mainstream media that inhale the steam. And you guys are the ones that have brought Air America into being in that you made the case that there was a need, and you showed there was a market. And you're showing by your listening that there's an audience. And we're on 64 stations all around the country now. Yeah. And it's really phenomenal to be able to have the progressive right-on listener from the Bay Area talk to the trucker in Montgomery, Alabama. And the trucker, well, he's not a trucker, Alvin, I'm thinking of, who called in on Saturday. He said, I feel as if, you know, I've done everything I could. I distributed the Downing Street memo to all my friends. I didn't ask him how many friends he had. I thought that would be mean. But we have listeners who do feel that they're very alone in their communities, and they're thrilled to hear from you guys. And we've got a mechanism now where you can talk to each other, you can listen to one another, and I think you're the ones with the 30 years under your belt and the practice of alliance and working together who have the skills to hear where people are at and figure out how to work with them. So right now I feel like people are very engaged with, isn't this exciting? We've built an independent media that can go up against Fox. And I think you can work with us to make us do our work better and bring more people along. I don't have a roadmap for exactly how you do that, but I have suggestions and I'm happy to have more conversation. But if you leave us to the sharks of celebrity and capital market, I don't know where I'll be a year from now. So I'll leave it with that. You're just great. Congratulations on your 30 years. Thank you for all of your work.
This was the end of Laura Flanders' talk, but now she decided to answer questions from the audience. The first questioner asked about the coalition that formed between the left and right-wing groups in response to the FCC proposals to further deregulate the media. The rest of the questions asked about the availability of Air America, the possibility of using Air America to create a database of grassroots organizations, Air America over the internet, and the training of the next generation of reporters.
I think that we can build, for example, a coalition around shutting down Guantanamo that is left and right. I think that we are in a proactive phase right now because people have had it. Bush's, you know, terror tactics and divide and rule, people are not buying it in the same way as they were. And those who are sticking up their hands over the parapet, whether it's Lynn Woolsey or John Conyers or Barbara Boxer, are feeling an incredible support for having done that. So I'm not answering your question all that well because I'm not the one in D.C. who pulled together those coalitions, but I think it's possible on a variety of issues. And I think shutting down Guantanamo is one of them because you frame it in whatever way you want to frame it. You know, this is not the American way. I mean, we can say, yes, it actually is the American way, torturing lots of people. But there are people, we don't need to go into all the details, right? And I think that, who was it was talking about, Van Jones talking about, we need to build alliances and not wait for the perfect marriage. You know, we need, Audre Lorde used to talk about, you build a coalition around an issue that you can agree on. You don't have to all get married to one another. Even if you could get married to one another, but that's another issue. No, we're not in all 50 states. We've still got a lot of space in the middle. We've got to cover. But I'm hoping that we can draw up a relationship with maybe a dish satellite service or Link TV or something that reaches into those states better. So I'm thinking we could align with, you know, team up with television and actually hit into some of those states. We are on XM, so we have a lot of, and Sirius, although we're about to be only on XM. Sorry if you bought a serious contract. And that's the way we're getting in, is that people calling us from a lot of states where there aren't stations are listening either on the internet or on the satellite. So in that sense, we're on in every state. And we're on internationally. People are listening. We had people calling in from Japan during the election in Germany. But in terms of are we on every station, I mean, one thing you can all do in the same way that you mobilized to affect the vote in other states other from where you live, you can mobilize to get Air America or Democracy Now! On in states where you don't live, working with people that you know or neighbors that you, or, you know, relatives that you have, to get them to lobby their local stations. It doesn't take much. It's a phenomenal thing, you know, in that people there's a kind of cultish feeling about Air America Radio because people were so hungry for something like it to exist, and it's so exciting on the AM dial that you can literally turn the knob a little way or push those buttons, and you hear Limbaugh and Laura Schlesinger and then us. It's exciting. It's fantastic. I like it when we actually are on their wavelength, you know, but I like that better. But not politically, just broadcast-wise. But yeah, people are excited, and I think now is the moment to say, okay, we're excited as well, and let's get on board, and we want you to do more of this kind of programming, and we've got some companies that would be interested in supporting this kind of programming, and we want more young people on, and we want more people of color on, and we want, you know, to help you get on in more places. So I guess what I'm saying is direct yourself to Air America in the same way that maybe you engage with Pacifica. Maybe not exactly the same way. That's a whole nother story. No, I mean, the slogan on my show is don't leave politics to the politicians. That's our slogan. And I think that's what Air America is great about, because we're speaking into people's towns, into people's homes. They're hearing each other. I mean, that's what talk radio is about. You can think of talk radio as, you know, the fantastic demagogue and the peon listener. Or, and you can guess which one I like better, a community conversation where people are talking, you know, peon to peon, you know. No, just kidding. You know what I mean? That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to have Alaska talk to Tampa. We're trying to have, you know, Maine talk to Nevada. And it's happening. And I think that you're right. That would be a great solution, because during the election, people had things you could do around the election. But that's limited. We need more. And it would be fantastic for the progressive community, period, to map our community in the same way that the right maps, you know, where the right-wing churches are and so on and so forth. Now, it may be a little beyond my intern capacity right this minute, but not necessarily if you all want to come and intern. I mean, there's a project for you. I mean, one of the most fun media interventions, apart from unconventional coverage, which was great, that I've been part of, which was only for the duration of the Republican and Democratic conventions in 2000, was the free speech TV indie media collaboratives that we figured out how to do for those weeks. I was like this crazed video DJ who was, you know, people were, I was, if you, I don't know if any of you saw how we did it, but it was a week of broadcasts every night. Amy was on in the morning, I was on in the evening, and we would broadcast reports from the streets that had been made that day by activists from the indie media community, and we were working out of the local indie media centers and the cable access community stations around the country. And it was just fantastic. I mean, I didn't know, you could probably tell often, that I didn't know what tape was playing next, you know, and whether it was finished and what it was about, you know. But it was this amazing sense of, you know, so and so, this crowd knows, you know, all about the you know, cable franchising deal, and these people know about the violence against the bike riders that happened this morning, and these people have been covering low-income housing that people were displaced to make room for the convention, whatever it was. And we really, I mean, that was a collaborative model that was absolutely phenomenal and very exciting, and all I was doing was trying to smooth the flow and keep people tuned in. Television actually lends itself to that, and I think radio does too. And that's all I'm doing, is just waving a flag to say, let's just be careful of this model where we're advancing two or three people who we then need to do everything. Because I don't know how Amy does it, period. It's a burnout. And it's silly. It's a silly strategy. And at the same time, it's the strategy that works, in that media want individuals. They want those personalities. They don't want John McCain. No, you know what, there's not only people listening, but there are blogs where people talk to one another, and they're there for the entire 3 hours. I mean, it's a party, and it's them feeling community. I mean, I watch them talking to each other. Oh, hi, Rain, or let's welcome on so-and-so, and, you know, Maggie's boy this, and Pete that, and it's creating community on air, and I don't care if they're really listening to the content of the program, frankly. I mean, if the program is the excuse for them to get together and feel like they're having a party across the country talking to each other, and they'll organize about this or that themselves, and interesting stuff gets posted on the blog, that's fantastic. And that's what they would, you know, it's actually the people who are listening online are the most likely to go and take an online kind of action, like sign the petition. So I think it was largely them who pushed the tally up. And you see you can see how many people are listening. We had, what was it, Steve? This last week, I think it was like 1,200 people participating, which is to say plugged into the blog. Many more than that listening, but just plugged into the blog, 1,200 people. And this is a weekend show that gets almost no promotion. Which we're going to change. And I'll just say one last thing, which is that the exciting thing about Air America is we are bringing a progressive critique to people who have never heard it. I mean, these are not people, I mean, there are progressives that listen, but there are others who've only heard talk radio. They have no idea. I mean, people call in all the time and they say, I'm a Republican. I've never listened to any programming like this before. Some of what you say makes sense, but some of it really sucks. We are not talking to the converted. And you can talk to these people through our airwaves. And I think that the practice, the exercise that I've learned in talk radio, which is what I'm so excited, why I love talk radio, why I've been so excited to move from the counterspin model to this kind of model. And I did counterspin for 10 years. And they both need to exist. But what it becomes about is about asking questions and really listening to where people are at and asking them questions. It's no longer me lecturing what I think is right. I get the privilege of lecturing a bit at the beginning of the program, but the rest of the program is really asking the question that will maybe get somebody either to come up with something I'd never thought of, or to think something they hadn't thought of, or to address something that we can all chew on together. And I think that if I had one kind of self-critique and critique of progressives, that we sometimes have the attitude that we have all the answers, we know everything right, and if you could just listen to us, you know, which is that model that we have about media. If we just had our media, then everything would be all right because everybody would agree with us. Not true. It's very not. We do have to learn how to listen and ask the right questions and listen to the right people. Listen to people we're not used to. When I say right people, I mean to strangers, people we're not used to listening to. And I think that that's where our power lies. As long as we continue to be curious about what people we don't know are thinking and experiencing. And that includes people who voted for George W. Bush last time. It includes people who are signing their kids up to go to war. We've got to remain curious. And that's what I think the sort of endless broadcasting about Michael Jackson deadens, is our sense of curiosity, our sense of who's in the world, our sense of our place in the world, and our feelings about anything at all. And I think our job is to bring the feeling back in, bring the curiosity back in, to retain our own sense of doubt that we might be wrong, right? Even though we're mostly not. And that we need to talk to people who are not just like us. So I urge you all to use our airwaves, call on in, talk to people, ask them questions, tell them what you're doing, say how much you appreciate the Laura Flanders Show and the work of Steve Rosenfeld. No. We need your engagement. And I hope that we can remain engaged in a way that helps you. And you guys are great, and it's hot, and you've been here a long time, and maybe you can cut off the engagement now.
This program is a San Francisco Liberation Radio production. The web address of San Francisco Liberation Radio, a 24/7 internet radio station, is www.liberationradio.net. The website address of Air America is www.airamericaradio.com. And again, the website of Media Alliance is www.media-alliance.org. Music is by Chris Potter and Late Bake Productions. Thank you for listening. This is Carmen LaSalle.